It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. When European development ministers meet today in Berlin, Paul Wolfowitz will not be there. Normally, the head of the World Bank would attend, but this year he was uninvited, rather bluntly, by Germany's development minister, even before Wolfowitz announced his resignation last Thursday as the World Bank president. Wolfowitz's departure raises many questions, and with us to discuss them is Financial Times reporter Daniel Dombey, who's been covering this story from London. Hello.
Hi.
Now, Paul Wolfowitz was controversial at the World Bank and in Europe from the day he was appointed. How divisive of a figure has he turned out to have been?
It's, I think, right when some of his supporters say rather bitterly that this is payback time for Iraq. He was seen as one of the presiding geniuses of the 2003 Iraq War, and that certainly meant that in countries like Germany, where the Social Democrats have really made their opposition to the Iraq War clear for 5 years now, since before it happened, he was never really going to have any political capital. One single slip-up, and that would pay for him. In addition, of course, there were real concerns that people said they had over the way he managed the bank.
Now that Paul Wolfowitz is effectively headed out the door, many of the people at the bank who opposed him also opposed the idea of the U.S. naming his successor, which has been the tradition. The U.S. names the head of the World Bank. But the European countries who sought his ouster have said that if he did leave voluntarily, they would back the Bush administration's choice. Does that mean a smooth transition for his successor?
I think that people are still nervous about what kind of leader comes out of the nomination process. I think they do want to see someone conciliatory. Of course, if you look at it, if you were to name someone like Robert Zoellick, the former Deputy Secretary of State, who's someone who worked very well with Europe, or Robert Kimmitt, the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, then I think that's someone who Europeans would want to work with. In fact, there's a point here. Mr. Bush began his second term in 2005. By embracing Europe in certain ways, by traveling to Brussels, by moderating the U.S. position on issues like the Iranian nuclear program. But he also made some very provocative appointments. John Bolton at the United Nations, Mr. Wolfowitz at the World Bank. Now, 2 years on, we can see those provocative nominations haven't lasted the test of time. Mr. Bush's variant of multilateralism has, and I think that's another reason why the Europeans may be more willing to work with the Bush administration than in the past. It's certainly true that the Europeans said at an early stage that if Wolfowitz stood down, they would not try and question the Americans' traditional right to nominate the president of the World Bank. To be honest, self-interest is at root as much at the course of that as high principle. The Europeans obviously have a right to nominate and choose the managing director of the IMF, so they want to keep their bit of the cake. So far, the only people who have objected quite loudly are some of the NGOs who don't like these stitch-ups between Europe and the U.S., and on a point of principle, one can see that much of the rest of the world may well ask, why should Europe and the U.S. have these rights over these institutions?
You know, looking back, how much of what Wolfowitz was saying and was concerned about, corruption, for instance, is a problem at the World Bank, and aside from his management style and mistakes as president, needs to be dealt with now that he's going?
It's certainly true that corruption is a huge issue. It's certainly true that the World Bank needs to rethink some of the way that it's been given aid to countries that have perhaps pocketed it, just as it had to rethink its focus on enormous infrastructure projects in the 60s and 70s. Nevertheless, one of the criticisms of Wolfowitz was that it was a fairly arbitrary way that he was making this distinction between countries that were corrupt and therefore not deserving of aid and countries that weren't. Some people saw a little bit of a political agenda, in fact, a lot of a political agenda there. And I think one of the things that exacerbated that is Mr. Wolfowitz was never particularly known for his administrative ability. He was always seen as an ideas man, not necessarily the greatest manager in the world.
Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Daniel Dombey is a reporter with London's Financial Times.